I told you last week, and I will not be excessively repetitious this morning, but I told you last week how that I went to my office last Saturday night and changed my sermon from a sermon of dedication about this building to a sermon about Jesus. I told you how I got on my knees and said, Jesus, you're not going to have any of your glory stolen by church building. And I'm going to see to it that he doesn't. Amen. I told you how that I came and asked Brother Nischik, if he would, to start off the Sunday school class with us singing the chorus that starts off with the word Jesus. First word that was ever sung in this building, folks, was the name Jesus. First word. I wanted to tell Brother Boardway last Sunday that I wish he could start off some little opening number, had Jesus' name first. I didn't tell him, and of course they'd already rehearsed one, but I was so thrilled when the first word they sang was the word Jesus. The first congregational word ever sung in this new building was the word Jesus. And the first word the choir ever sang in this new building was the word Jesus. And the first sermon ever preached in this new building was on the subject, Jesus, He is altogether lovely. Something happened to me 4.5 years ago. You know, I've always been a happy type fella. I've never known great periods of melancholy. But Dr. Billings says that I'm melancholy. He says my head is shaped like a melon, my face like a collie. I've never known great periods of melancholy. But 4.5 years ago, in a motel room in Kansas City, something happened to me, and I got to where I'm still a Baptist, but I got to where I want to shout. I find myself taking off my shoes in motel rooms and jumping up and down, acting a fool, clapping my hands, praising the Lord. Every morning, no matter where I am, I get up and look, pull the drapes back and look to the sky and say, Jesus, I'd sure love to see you today. I quote Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awaken thy likeness. And I say, Jesus, I wish you'd come today. I'd sure love to see you. I often say, Jesus, wonder what color eyes you're going to have when I see you. How tall will you be? What kind of physique will you have? And I've been consumed through these 4.5 years with the blessed thought that it won't be real long until we'll see him. It was brought close to home to me when Bob Keyes died. Bob, my friend of a lifetime. I got thinking when I got the news. I got thinking, sitting there at midnight in the hotel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mrs. McKinney had called me and told me that they'd called her. I got thinking, old Bob is looking at Jesus right now. I mean, that just sort of consumed me, still does. I mean, this morning, while I'm here, he's with him. He's with him. He knows the color of his eyes. He knows how tall he is. He knows the shape of his physique. He knows the contour of his face. He knows the sweetness of his countenance. I mean, Bob's there. He's with him, looking at him right now. Old Dr. Bob Jones, Senior, before he died, I was preaching at Bob Jones University and took Becky with me. And Dr. Bob prayed before we I went to his room. He was old and sort of senile. And up in years, he never left that room. He died shortly thereafter. And I said, Dr. Bob, would you pray for me before I go? And I got on my knees before the chair. And old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., just before he died, placed his hand on my head and prayed for me. I'd heard him pray this before, but I never had felt it quite like I did. He prayed for God to bless me, and he thanked God for me and for our friendship, and he and I were good friends. Old Dr. Bob said, maybe you've heard him pray this, he said, Jesus, if you were on earth today and I knew where you were, I'd look you up. He said, Jesus, if I could see you for 5 minutes, I'd travel around the world. I had to. I'd go to any airport and take any plane without any expense. If I could just see you, Jesus. He prayed like that. In a few days, he got to see him. You ever get hungry to see him? I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. You know, I've always wanted to go to heaven. I'd just soon not take the next trip, but I don't want to die. I want Jesus to come, and if I die, I don't want to get sick and die. I just want to drop dead quickly. Some of you folks, I'd like you to drop dead quickly too. But the thought of heaven just feels to me. I mean, I want to see the golden streets and the gates of pearl and so forth. And I used to rejoice and I used to preach on heaven, and I'd say, "Praise the Lord." We're going to walk down golden streets and walk through gates of pearl, and that's all nice. For 4.5 years, it just doesn't matter to me. As long as he's there, I don't much care what it's like. Amen. Jesus is there. I'd just soon the streets be asphalt and the gates made of two before. I'd just soon have a cactus for the tree of life if Jesus is there. Or I'd just soon have a muddy stream for the river of life if Jesus is there. Or if they just grow in the, don't grow the fruit, but just grow dandelions, if he's there, that'll satisfy me. The foundations are of concrete, and the fence is barbed wire, and the city is square, is not square, but oblong, and if instead of a rainbow is a black cloud, if he's there, to me that's just about all that matters. There's heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's the foretaste of glory divine. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. The writer said, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face. All sorrow will erase. All the cancer, all the heart trouble, all leukemia, all the cancer of the bone, all the burdens, all the sorrows, all the tears will be erased. One glimpse of his dear face. All sorrow will erase. So I'll gladly run the race till we see Christ. Somebody wrote, I want to see my Savior first of all. You heard me tell this. I hadn't thought about it, and I wasn't going to tell it this morning. Old Dr. Bob, I've heard him say so many times. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said his mother died. He missed her. Oh, he wanted to see his mother. Heartache of heartaches for his mother to die. He was an evangelist, been preaching for years. He heard about a church in town called a spiritualist church where you go talk to the dead. And this evangelist, fundamental evangelist, went down to this spiritualist church. Be like me going down here to this place on Calumet River, on Calumet Street, where Reverend Grace Free is the pastor, you know. And I've always suspicioned that that's really her name, Grace Free. But anyway, and he went down there and he said, look, is anything to this thing of talking to the dead? I want to talk to my mother. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr., evangelist, told me this many times. He took lessons so he could talk to his mother who was in heaven. And sure enough, they put him in a dark room after lesson. And they said, okay, just say mother. Dr. Bob said, mother. And he said, Dr. Hiles, Brother Hiles said, sure enough, my mother's voice came out and said, hello, Bob. And I said, mother, is that you, mother? And she said, yes, it's me, Bob. And I said, "Brother, tell me about it up there. How is heaven?" And she said, "It's wonderful. There are golden streets and gates of pearl." I said, "I've seen your uncle. I said, I've seen my mother and my father." And Dr. Bob said, I said, "Shut up! You're not my mother!" He said, "I know my mother." I said, "If you're my mother, the first thing you'd have said was, 'Bob, I've seen Jesus. I've seen Jesus.'" Do you have a hunger in your heart this morning to see Him? I mean, it's something that beats faster when I say, "We shall see Him." Does your heart beat faster? Somebody put it this way: face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, when shall it be? When I with rapture shall behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Somebody put it, "Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. Oh, I want to thank Him for His saving grace." Somebody put it this way: "I know I'll see Jesus someday." Somebody said, "And I shall see Him face to face and tell the story. Saved by grace, as the ladies played so beautifully a while ago. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory. Be glory for me. When will I see Him? I'll see Him at death. That's the first place." I recall in East Texas one time, I was talking to a man who was dying. And suddenly he grasped his chest and he knew I was there. He could talk, but he grasped his chest. And the doctor looked at me and shook his head like that, as if to say, "He's going now." And suddenly the old dying man, up in his 80s, said, "I see Him. I see Him. I see Him." And I said, "What's He like? What's He like?" And the old man said, "Look for yourself. He's right over there." And he was gone. He was gone. Somebody asked a famous English general one time, "What's the greatest experience you've ever enjoyed in all of your life and the battles?" He said, "The greatest experience is the one I haven't enjoyed yet." Somebody said, "What is it?" He said, "5 minutes after I die." Man alive. Won't that be something? I mean, I've preached about Him all these years, almost 30 years. And I'll see Him. And as John said, I'll hold Him and touch Him. You reckon we can? You reckon we'll be able to touch His face and rub our hands over His face? You reckon we can lean our heads on His breast as John did? At death, you say, "Preacher, you afraid to die?" "I don't want to die. And if I got sick today, I'd probably take an aspirin or two. And I don't want to die. I want to live. You know why? Because to live is Christ. But brother, if to live is Christ, to die is gain." Gain what? Gain the presence of Jesus. Huh? Here's a lady. Young lady, her boyfriend's been overseas. He's coming home. He's been gone 2 or 3 years, and he's going to come home. And so she goes down to the airport, and here comes the plane, and she looks up, and there's the plane carrying her beloved, and it rolls into the gate, and her heart beats faster, and she's pounding, and she looks up, and here he is! And I'm sure she'd say, "Aren't these beautiful floors at this airport?" "Oh, look at these doors at this airport. Hey, what kind of plane was that you were on?" "Hang the plane. Forget the door. Floor, forget it. He's there. He's there. I used to be in love with the coming of Christ, and one day I fell in love with the Christ who's coming." That's what it is. At death. At death. Stephen said as he died, "I see Jesus." Wonder why? Because he was going to be with Jesus. But the Bible says Jesus was standing. Stephen said, "I see Him standing at the Father's right hand." Well, the Bible says that after He finished His work, He sat down at the right hand of the Father. How come He's standing? I don't know why He's standing. He's glad to see Stephen. You know, this is something that's sweet to me. Jesus wants to see me. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He wants to see me. I don't know why, but he wants to see me. You know, I've been so consumed. I mean, it sounds sort of dumb running around the country preaching about somebody you've never seen, doesn't it? I mean, all this building, all the work and the toil and the giving and the sacrifice, all of it is just so people will see Jesus.
Amen.
That's all. That's all. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be, if he's there. But there's another time we'll see him, and that is we'll see him at the rapture. And that's the time I hope I see him first, at the rapture. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then it says in Mark 13:26, they shall see the Son of Man coming in his glory. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, every eye shall see him. Somebody said, don't you want to hear the trumpet sound? I'd just soon it be a Halloween tin horn if Jesus comes. Somebody said, well, don't you want to hear the angels shout? I don't care if it's a crow shouting, as long as Jesus is coming. Somebody said, well, don't you want to go to the meeting in the air? I just want to meet him in the barnyard, as long as Jesus is there. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter what kind of instrument's playing. Doesn't matter. Main thing is he's there. We get so wrapped up in our churches about this and that and coming and going. I resolve. I'll not let Jesus be second place in this auditorium. I won't do it. I just won't do it. He's going to be the first attraction. He's going to be the top person. He's going to be the preeminent one. I'll see him at the rapture. What's the rapture? You folks that don't know, that's when Jesus comes for us one of these days. Man alive. Now, you know, I was a paratrooper, and I used to jump out of airplanes. Jump out? No, it's kicked out. But I used to get out, And I can recall after the parachute would open, I look up and see that beautiful piece of silk over my head, all open. And I'd look at the fellow beside me and holler, hey, ain't this fun? We didn't holler that in the airplane before we jumped. Oh, but after, and coming down, beautiful piece, coming down from the sky. I've often wondered if when the rapture takes place, if I won't look forward and say, hey, brother, ain't this fun? Rising to meet him. And there's Jesus. The Bible says he's going to have a hair that's white when he comes again. The Bible says his voice is going to be as the voice of many waters. The Bible says his feet should be like fine brass. The Bible says he should be clothed with a garment all the way over, and it'll be a white garment. The Bible says his countenance shall be like the sun, and we shall see him at the rapture. May I ask you a question this morning? Have you made preparation for that? Can you say this morning, if Jesus came this morning, I would see Jesus? There's a third time we'll see him, and that is we'll see him in the New Jerusalem. I think one of the sweetest statements in all the Bible is that statement, Revelation 22:4. They shall see his face. They shall see his face all the time. All the time. In heaven, good morning, Jesus. Every day. Every day we'll get to see him. Something sweet happened this week. Would you indulge me just for a minute to share it with you? Mrs. Fess, I wonder if she could come. It's probably too cold for her. She's 90 years old. Is she here, Mrs. Luther? She's 90 years old, and I didn't expect her to be here this morning. Her eyes are failing her. She comes to the services often, but she can't see. She can't tell who you are unless she's about that close to you. And Mrs. Luther, her daughter, had an appointment with me Friday night. Was it Friday night? Friday night. And Mrs. Fess asked if she could come. And she got on her best clothes. She even wore a hat and got all dressed up. You know why she came? She wants to see me. She told Mrs. Luther, I haven't gotten to see Brother Hiles in a long time, and I want to just go with you so I can get up close to him and just see what it looks like. And so she came, and bless her heart, I felt so self-conscious that it stood there, and she got a... Would you use some of this, please? And But she just got up real close, and she had to get that close before she could see her. But she wanted to see her preacher. And I thought, isn't that sweet? She wanted to see me. She sits out in the audience and she hears me, and all she can see is a blur up here. No smart cracks about that. But a blur up here. And she said, I want to see my preacher. And so she got ready and put on her best clothes and put on a nice hat and put on a pretty coat and got out in the cold weather and got in, came to the church house and walked in and waited for me 35 or 40 minutes so she'd get that close to me so she could just see my face. Oh, listen. Won't it be a wonderful, wonderful thing when the curtain is pulled back and Jesus comes again, and we'll look at him and say, Jesus, I've always wondered what you look like. And like that blind man the other day that was his eyes were open on a Sunday morning and walked down the aisle. You folks that weren't here missed a great blessing. That blind man who said, he's been blind for years, been coming to our church here for a long time, and all of a sudden there was Sunday morning, his eyes opened and God let him see. He walked up and he said, I didn't know that's what you'd look like. He said he was a little disappointed. But anyway, I'll bind you one thing. When these eyes are opened and we look and see him, you know, we're going to be lit with a fist. We're going to thank God for every night we've worked. We're going to thank God then for every time we've been weary and tired and worked overtime. We're going to thank God then for every time we've traveled at night and been weary and tired, and we preached and we felt like we couldn't stand up while we preached. We're going to thank God then for every hour, every day we've worked, every soul we've won, every time we preached. When we see Jesus, that's when. You know, I think it'd be wonderful. There are just a few thoughts I had about it. I think it'd be wonderful because when I see him, I'll be able to serve him better then. I guess I discussed it with myself. I preached the other night in Minnesota on the preeminence of Christ. And my voice was giving me trouble. And I tried to get like I wanted to get, and I couldn't get that way. And while I was preaching, I said, Jesus, you deserve better than this. And I tried to find where my voice could preach best. And I tried low and I tried high, and it just didn't do right. And I went back to my room and I threw myself on the bed and I said, Jesus, you deserve better than that. Well, bless God, there'll be a day when I can preach on Jesus and never have a hoarse voice again. I was preaching down in Indianapolis, Indiana one time, and I had 102 fever. And I was sick and I had to lean up against the pulpit because it was weak. And I got feeling bad about it. And I said, Jesus, you deserve more than that. One of these days I can serve him and never get tired, never get weary. I was in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Preached one night, got on my knees to pray before I went to bed. Got on my knees in the motel room beside the bed and began to pray. Woke up 2 hours later on my knees beside the bed. Hadn't slept much for two or three nights, and I slept 2 hours and didn't even pray. And I got up and I hit myself like that and I said, good night. Don't you go to sleep while you're talking to God. But there'll be a day when this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. And I won't get tired anymore and you won't either. And I can praise him and never get hoarse. I can preach about how good he is and my voice will never get tired. And I can praise him and never go off to sleep. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So I'll bravely run the race till we see Christ. That's one reason why you don't worry a great deal. Folks say, well, aren't you afraid the airplane will go down? Well, sometimes I wonder, but if it goes down, I go up, so it doesn't make any difference. said, "Well, Hal," said, "you ever get afraid of plane to crash?" "Well, I'd rather it wouldn't crash." Brother Russell Anderson and I were on an airplane one time, and the landing gear, the wheels wouldn't go down. We had to circle O'Hare Field for a while. And the lady behind us, remember that, Russell? Lady behind us said, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" And I said, "The landing gear won't go down." She said, "Is that good or bad?" I said, "It ain't good." "It ain't good." But it ain't bad either if you know Jesus. Nothing much can go bad if you know Him. Nothing. Remember I tell you about, remember I told you about that good man, that deacon in our church, Willis Gifford. They found out he had cancer. I hadn't seen him. I'd been to see him time and time again. Back in the days the church was smaller, and we didn't have one-tenth of the members we have now. And I could do a lot of things I just don't have time to do now. And I went to see him. And finally word came that the tests are back and he has cancer. Terminal cancer. Went up to St. Margaret's Hospital. Walked in his room. I didn't know what to say. He and I had always cut up an awful lot. He wore a hearing aid. And he said, if I'd preach something pretty rough, he'd say up in the baptismal dressing room where he worked, he said, "I turned you off this morning." And so forth. I walked in his room. I tried to figure out what to say to him. He looked up at me before I could say a word and says, "Hi, preacher. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." He's with Jesus this morning. So is Verley Field. So is Mr. Tudor. So is Mrs. Fredley. So is Bill McKeegan. So is Steve McKeegan. And so is the Cunningham boy. And so is the Hooker boy. And so are all the people that once sat where you sat. Listen to me. I've stood behind this pulpit and said, "We shall see him!" Hundreds of our people in the last 15 years have gone to see him. Oh, hasten the day when he shall come with trumpet sound. And may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. For the day I was at the airport, walked up, handed him an envelope, said, "Checking in to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee." The fella said, "There's no ticket in this envelope." Oh, my soul. My soul. "No ticket in the envelope." I said, "Yes, there is. Look carefully." He said, "Look for yourself." He opened it up. No ticket. No ticket. I said, "Man, there's a ticket in there." "I saw it." He said, "You can't get on a plane without a ticket." A fellow behind me said to the ticket agent, said, hey, said, "Anybody lose a ticket back yonder in the hall?" I said, "Man, if you was my type, I'd hug you." So I said, "Here's my ticket. I got my ticket." And bless God, I've got my ticket to see Jesus, too. I got it. It's all punch. You going to see him? You going to see him? Huh? Huh? You could. If you trust him and make him yours. We see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every eye shall see him. They shall see him coming in the clouds of glory. Wonder what he'll look like. Wonder what he's going to say first. Wonder what I'm going to do. Reckon I'll be so ashamed I'll fall to his face. Speechless. Or you think maybe I'll say with Thomas of old, "My Lord and my God." Or maybe I'll say with Mary, "Master, Master." Or maybe I'll just be speechless for a while. I'm not sure. But I'll see it. And I want you to see it too. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Jesus, it's awful hard to preach on you because you're so wonderful. It's awful hard to preach on subjects like this because it's like trying to drain the ocean with a teacup. Thank you, Jesus, that we'll be able to see you someday. We're here for a while, like a vapor that passes away. But thank you that one of these days, very, very soon, that will be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me when by thy grace I shall look on your face. Oh, that will be glory for me. Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. Are you going to see him? Huh? Are you going to see him? Have you trusted him? If he came today, would you rise to meet him in the air? I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I may not be what I ought to be, but bless God, I've got my ticket. I've got my ticket, thank God. I have my ticket. I'm going to heaven. I'm born again. If I died today, I'd see Jesus. If he came this morning, I'd see Jesus, and I know it. Raise your hand way up high. You can lower your hand. If you did not raise your hand, you could have, or you could. You could be saved this morning. You could trust him as your Savior. You could have his name written in heaven, and your name written in heaven this morning. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I died, I'd see Jesus. I don't know that if he came this morning, I'd see him. But I want to know it. I want to know it. I'd like to see him someday. I'd like to go to heaven when I die, but I don't know that I am. Brother Hiles, would you pray for me that I may know that I'm going to heaven? In this great crowd of people, this great host of sea of faces this morning, there must be dozens of people who have a doubt beating in your breast, or there's a void there. You don't know that you're saved. You don't know that you'll see Jesus. I wonder how many, first on the main floor. On the main floor, if you'd raise your hand and say, Brother Hiles, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I died, I'd see Jesus. But I wish I did. I want to know it. I want to know Jesus. Pray for me on the main floor. Lift your hand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Raise it up high. God bless you, lady, back in the back on my right. God bless you, sir, back in the center. God bless you. And God bless you back here. Yes, I see two hands on my left. And God bless you, two men back here. Yes, I see you. And back here, God bless you in the center on my right. Who else on the main floor? Just, yes. Oh, yes, several over here on my right. God bless you. Yes, you can put your hands down. Thank you. God love every one of you. I wonder who else on the main floor. You'd say, Brother Hiles, pray for me. I don't know that if I died, I'd see Jesus. God bless you, lady. God love you. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. God love you. Who else on the main floor? You'd say, include me in the prayer. I'd like to know that I'll see Jesus when I die. I don't know it, but I wish I did. Pray for me. God bless you over here. Yes, God bless you. Yes, I see you, sir. God bless you. Yes, and God bless you. And God bless you, fella. God love you. I see you. Thank you. And God bless you. Yes. Who else? On the main floor, you'd say, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. God bless you. I see that hand back here in the middle. Who else on the main floor? God bless you. I see you. Now let's go upstairs. Anywhere in the great balcony, and what a balcony that is. Who up in the balcony would say, Brother Hiles, include me in the prayer. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Lift your hand in the balcony way up high, and I'll pray for you. Yes, I see you. Who else? Who else in the balcony? God bless you. Yes, I see you. God bless you, friend. God loves you, and so do I. Who else would say in the balcony, pray for me? Yes, God bless you. Who else? I don't know. God bless you. I see you. Amen. Amen. Who else? Pray for me. God bless you, lady. Way back up in the back. God love you. Who else in the balcony? Pray for me. I want to know that I'd say I'll see Jesus. I don't know that I will. God bless you. I see you. Who else? Who else? Our Heavenly Father, I wish I had time this morning. Time seems to be my problem. But I wish I had time this morning to go to each person whose hand was lifted and put my hand in hers or his and say, I love you in Jesus' name. I want you to trust Jesus today. I can't do that, but I pray that you'd help the love that flows from my heart to be felt by these dear ones all over this building. Oh, God, bless these little children. Many of them came on cold buses, and many of them have nobody that loves them as far as they know. They've never heard the words, I love you. They've never gotten a note like I got this morning on the pulpit from some child. May they know you love them. Help them to trust you this morning. Bless these teenagers. God, bless them. Oh, the devil is trying to steal everything decent about them. Oh, God, bless them. And may they come to Jesus this morning. And these over here this morning, these older people, I pray that you'd help them to know you love them. And dear Lord, help them to know that they're closer to seeing you than we are if they're saved. I pray that everyone this morning in this room whose hand was raised and those who should have been but were not shall say yes to God today. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, everyone that raised a hand, or if you didn't and should have, would you say this prayer and mean it this morning? Would you say this prayer silently? Oh, God, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And I trust him now as my Savior. Say it. Oh, God, I want to see Jesus. And I trust him now as my Savior. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. I'm going to ask if you're on the lower floor to come to the nearest aisle and down to the front. We have experts here who can show you exactly how to see Jesus someday. Exactly. If you're in the balcony, I want you to come to the nearest steps. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 stairwells. You can just choose your stairwell. Come down the steps into down to the main floor and down the aisle, and we'll have someone to show you how you can see Jesus. If this morning you want to say, I will receive him as my Savior, I'm going to receive him, I'm going to trust him so I can someday see him, I want you to leave your seat and come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front. If you're here this morning and you've never yet obeyed Christ in baptism, you come. If you've been saved and have not made public your salvation, you come. If you need to join this great church by transfer of membership, you come. I want you to come on the first stanza and come quickly. Our Heavenly Father, we've tried for 2 Sunday mornings to talk about your son. You must like that. We love for folks to talk about our sons and our daughters. And you must like to hear me talk about your son. And I bragged on him. Oh, God, bring these people to him to love him and trust him. In his name. Amen. Shall we stand? And we'll ask that no one leave the service, please. No one at all. If this morning you need to receive Christ as your Savior, you come to the nearest aisle. If you need to come for public profession of the faith that you've already put in him, you come. If you need to get baptized, you come. If you want to join this great church, you come. But mainly, I want you, before you walk out those doors, to be able to look up and say, Jesus, I'll see you someday. I'll see you. I'll see you, as the choir sings.